Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And Paul ends it by saying, amen. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. I don't know when I incorporated using that particular passage every time I've gotten up, which has been probably a little over 6,000 times in the past 50 years. One of those was a good lesson. I'm sorry you missed it. But every time I do stand before a group, I'm always hoping that it will be a great lesson. So I hope that as we begin the year out, that we will rejoice in the heavenly home. That's what I want to talk to us about today. I'm going to do that here in just a moment. But I also want to encourage you with to recognize there are other great passages, I think, that encourage us. I love Psalm 103 that begins by saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless the Lord. And bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his blessings. Forget not his good blessings that he gives to us. Or to the psalmist as he writes in 33, and he says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all of his works are done in faithfulness or righteousness, some versions say. Nonetheless, the idea is that we can trust what the Bible says and this great word that's before us that encourages us. And of course, I know you know Psalm 119, 105 that says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm saying that because I've always, as a preacher, a gospel preacher, wanted to be someone who represents what God says and not what Bob says. That's always my attempt. And you know it's impossible not to incorporate what you're thinking or what you think about things. And so I hope that not too much of that spills over into my preaching when I'm standing before you. I want to encourage you as we begin the new year. Everybody's thinking about new things. I hope that you don't let little things distract you from whatever your, I'll say your New Year's resolution is or whatever your goal is in life. You know, you can begin each day as a new day, right? So you don't have to wait on Monday to start your diet. Sorry to bring that up. But you can do it any time you want to. And in fact, one of the things that is so blessing, or such a great blessing when you're in Christ, is to know that every day is a new day. And that when you have God on your side, you're starting out fresh and new. Always. Because he is the one who loves us, and the one who died for us, and the one who prepares for us a heavenly home. Look at what Paul says in the very first verse of 2 Corinthians. For we know, I hope you know this, we know that if the earthly tent, this is what he's talking about, this earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. No matter what happens in this life, no matter what plans don't get carried out, no matter what things might be holding us back, or things that are painful for us, things that we must go through, or things that we continually go through. We have a heavenly home. He was trying to encourage, I think, people to make a recognition between the physical realm and the heavenly realm. And that is my goal to you, my friend, today. Doug, I thought as we were studying in class and you were talking about that great passage over in chapter 5 of 1 John. And of course, when John is writing to them over there, I'll give you the Bob Payne version of it. He's just trying to help them see that nobody else is smarter than God. And that they can understand or receive the testimony of God. And so when you start listening to mankind, you can find yourself getting off track pretty easy. I know some religions that don't teach what we teach. You know that in Islam, you have to die for Allah, then you get a great reward. I'm really happy, Travis, that I happen to have a God who died for me. I hope you realize that. Our God died for us. When he saw we weren't capable of doing what we need to do to be in his presence, he sent his own son into the world to make it possible for us to live eternally. And here at South Main, you know, every once in a while you've probably heard me say some other congregations. I counted one time. I think I've been at about 6 other congregations that was South something. Okay? So every once in a while in the back of my brain, do you have a computer that does that? You know, brings things, never mind. Let's don't even bring up computers. My brain is not like a computer, but right here in our congregation, we have, although we don't have them here close at hand, they're over on the other side, okay? I don't know what that means, that we've come to the other side. But we have goal statements, or what we call a mission statement. Now, I want you to know you don't need a mission statement. We had one already in the scripture. But I think it's a great idea that we have a statement that helps us to recognize who you are, who we are. The South Main Church is a loving and caring group of believers who accept the joy and the responsibility of carrying out the earthly ministry of Jesus. Now, we do our best to be like Jesus. We know we're not going to be like Jesus, but we're doing our best to be like him and to do what Christ would do. And I know you probably ask yourself when you're in situations, what would Jesus do about this? How would he respond? And hopefully we're able to live up to that standard and respond the way he does. We do it by going about seeking, Jim, the lost. Isn't that right? Whether it's in the prison or if it's on the street where we're not really happy about going. We want other people to know about Jesus by seeking the lost. Luke 19 and 10 says that's what Jesus came to do, was to seek and to save those who are lost. We go about teaching the kingdom of God. And the only difference really, brethren, between that and what we call the ecclesia or the church or the body is we get the concept that the kingdom is the rule of God, the reign of God. Does God really rule your life? When we turn ourselves over to the Lord, we begin to follow him. And we want to go about teaching that. That's the 2 Timothy 2 passage 1 and 2. We want to teach others who are able to do what? You know that scripture, right? Teach others. That's God's plan. Teach others who will teach others. And I believe that we believe in that. And that's what we're attempting to do. And we love to try to help those people who are in need. We want to help people who need benevolent help. Jesus practiced that in his life, as you well know, reading the scripture. He was able to do it in ways that maybe we're not capable of doing under our realm, but I think we have to learn to understand that the kingdom of God is the greatest treasure anyone can possess. And we have the keys to that. Isn't that what Jesus said to Peter? I'm going to give unto you the keys to the kingdom. What he meant was he was going to tell him what he needed to do to tell other people so that the other people could tell other people and so that those people could tell other people. You're getting the gist of this? So we could tell other folks about the great message of God. And as we do that, we want to be familiar with the scripture. Now I want to just give you the scripture this morning that I hope will be a great passage of scripture to encourage you. And we're going to actually back up a couple of verses and read in 2 Corinthians 4 and read down into 2 Corinthians 5 before we complete. But we're beginning in 2 Corinthians. It's going to be right on the screen. You can look up there and get it if you need to do that. For all things are for your sakes. Aren't you glad you have that kind of God? You hear what Paul is telling them? That for all things are for your advantage, what God gives us. So that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. That's how we glorify God. I know we all seek to do His will, and we want to know what His will is. I mean, more specifically, we really want to know what His will is for me and how I can fulfill it. I'm telling you, brethren, that that is fulfilled by telling other people about Christ Jesus our Lord who died for them. That's how it gets done. And therefore, we do not lose heart. Now, is there anybody in this audience that's ever lost heart? Let me see your hand. Now, some of you are lying because you're just sitting there with them empty hands. Everybody loses heart. Get discouraged. It's easy to be discouraged. There's so many things around us that distract us and discourage us. But we don't lose heart in our faithfulness to God because He is ever true to us. So we do not lose heart, but through our outer, or though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary and light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So then he says, chapter 5, for we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal, in the heavens. For indeed, in this house, we groan. Have you ever heard me try to sit down? If you get over here close, you may hear that every now and then. And in fact, I heard Bill Reed this morning when he got into his chair in class and he groaned. I was gonna ask him what Kathy had him out doing, but I wasn't sure that he was groaning. What do they say over in Louisiana? Bees that way. Yeah, the older you get, the more it bees that way. Groaning. Groaning. Longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. You see, this great message in the scripture, that is that We're longing to go to heaven. It's a great victory. Inasmuch then, we, having put it on, we will not be found naked. Because, you see, we have God on us, God in us. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. That's part of what we read this morning over there, Doug, in our class. A great pledge. So therefore, being always of good courage, I hope so, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight, we are of good courage, and I say and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may be repaid, recompensed for his deeds, or my deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether it is good or whether it's bad. That's what we're here to receive. But we know we have a heavenly dwelling. Now, I want to point out a couple of things to you quickly, because as we start the new year, I'm hungry. Now, I see you all think I'm talking about potluck, don't you? I'm hungry for souls. I'm hungry for people who need us to be benevolent to them. I'm hungry for folks who want to hear the message of God. Now, I know that what we hear around us so very often is discouraging enough because Satan wants us to think nobody wants to hear. Nobody wants to know. But that's not true, is it? There are people who want to know. I want you to look at the heavenly home that is ours and look at the contrast that we just read. Go ahead, Ben, you can put them all up there. I don't mind. So you can see them. So you have a chance and write them down. There are things obvious that are outward, but the inward is what's important. It's what we're thinking of and how we're handling them. How we're going to go about taking care of them. And our application of that is to live our life dedicated to Jesus Christ. While there's affliction, there's glory for God. Even while I'm still here doing the groaning and trying to get through life, God is glorified when I continue to do His will. When I continue to teach others, are you with me? To teach, that's who we're supposed to be. Because we have a heavenly dwelling that we're going to, and we want them to go there. We want them to see this connection. And I hope we see the connection between the body of Christ, the church as we refer to it, our heavenly home, that group of people that is loving and caring and accept the joy and the responsibility of sharing that message out here in our world. Jesus would say to Zacchaeus, "This day salvation has come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And to all that believe, were together. This is Acts chapter 2, verse 44. And they had all things together, and they had all things common. They sold their possessions, their goods, and they parted them to all men as every man had need. In other words, they did what they could to serve. Do you see our mission statement in that? Here's the idea. That's what I meant by saying all we've done in writing down something is to copy what we've learned from what God's Word teaches us, so that we will be those kind of people. Thou therefore, my son, 2 Timothy, we learn to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that those has heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. Brethren, God's glory, whether it is seen or the unseen, I know that we put a lot of stock in what we see, but it is the unseen that God puts his stock in. There's the earthly, there's the heavenly that we read about. There's mortality, there's life. See, there's going to be mortality in this life. This life comes to an end, but we will never die. How many of you believe that? You will never die, because God has given his life for you, has given that opportunity to you. So Paul would say, you know, being absent or being in the body, I'm absent from the Lord. But rather, I would rather be present in front of the Lord. It's in whom we have, you see, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his marvelous grace, Ephesians 1 and verse 7. Now, in the body of Christ, the church, there are so many things that I think we can easily confuse, and I don't want to get off my lesson, but, you know, the idea of church to one person may be completely different to another. The assembly, the people who are called out, you need to know that they are a part of God's eternal purpose. In Paul's writing in chapter 3 of the book Ephesians, he tells us at verse 10 that the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the church is a part of what God had in plan from the very beginning. And that was eternal. It was an eternal thing. That's why we live forever. Christ died to make the church possible. That's why he gave himself the way that he did. Take heed, says the writer Luke, in the book of Acts, in chapter 20 and verse 28, to the elders at Ephesus. He tells them to take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, and feed the church of God, listen, which he purchased with his own blood. Jesus died for us, the body of Christ. We refer to it the church. That can sometimes be impersonal, but it's a personal thing. He died for me. And he put all things under his feet, he says. This is Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And he gave him to be head over all things to the body, or the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You see, the church is divine. God has placed him over it. Christ is the judge of that. James says in chapter 4 and verse 12, I believe it is, that there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? That was a warning to them to stop judging other people and let God take care of the judging. That's what we're here to do. And pure religion, says James, is undefiled before God and the Father. And that is to visit the fatherless, the widows, and their affliction, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. You see, this living the life for Jesus is a really important thing. And that's what we're called to do in the body of Christ. And you see, our primary concern is to save the souls of mankind who are lost in sin. That's what Jesus said. Go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. Teach them. Teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what our job is. It's our job to remain focused on Jesus Christ and His purpose so that mankind can be saved and God is glorified. That's how we go about doing it. Well, that leaves me with a question or two. Where are you? I know you're here sitting here waiting for me to shut up and so you can go have potluck. I know that part. I'm talking about where are you in your spiritual life? Are you serving God? Is God first on your list? Is that what we're seeking? It has to be, or other things don't fall into place. I want to encourage us in 2020 to be the kind of people who put God first. Try that every day. Start with it fresh each day. God is going to be number one. And then where will you be headed? Well, that's entirely up to you. Entirely up to you. You read with me this very positive passage that just absolutely reeks with the promise of what God has in store for us. As a younger person, you know, I used to be one of those. That's how I got to be an old person. You just keep on breathing. That's what you got to do, okay? That's the secret to it. We don't always get our emphasis in the right place. Try to think spiritually. Is what I'm getting ready to do, is this going to be a good decision for me spiritually? It might be a new job and a higher wage. Is it going to be good spiritually? I love that girl. I want to marry that. Is it gonna be good spiritually? How important those things are for our life here. But no matter all the good decisions you make, you're still going to groan a little. So, hey, it's scriptural to groan. Go ahead and groan. Okay? When you go to get up, just go, ugh! And for some of you, that won't be pretending, right? No, but the idea is that we live our life for Jesus Christ. I want to know if you'll be with us. That's where we want to go. That's what we want to do at South Main. We want to reach our community, and we want to reach our relatives, our friends, the people that we come into contact with the responsibility of fulfilling Jesus' ministry here on this earth, an extension of Jesus in the world today. To act like Him, to be like Him, so God will be glorified. Trust me, God will be glorified. We all know that. But will we be a part? Will we get in on it? We can help you today. Wherever you are, God can turn you in the right direction. Chris has a song for us to sing. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.